Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C. So markguberti.com/book. And now let's dive right into the show. For episode 76 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about not quitting on our goals and, as a result, getting those goals accomplished with our guest, Christopher Wirth. Christopher is the founder and president of No Quit Living, which stands for NQL. So NQL is a speaking, coaching, and training company that focuses on topics such as accountability, goals, time maximization, networking, leadership, sales, personal development, and mentoring. The sought-after keynote speaker is also the host of the No Quit Living podcast, which has been rated as a top 50 business podcast on iTunes. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Christopher to the show.
I appreciate you having me here. It's an honor.
Christopher, it is such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast today. And before we go deep into not quitting on our goals, but instead getting our goals accomplished, I'd love to get some backstory. So why did you start NQL?
So I played college basketball and tennis, and then I coached AAU high school and college basketball. And there was a part of my life a couple years ago when I was subscribed to, at the time, probably 6 or 7 different quotes of the day. And one of the quotes I came across was a quote by Dr. Norman Vincent Peale: "It's always too early to quit." And it just stood out to me. And it was a couple years later when I got certified as a speaker, trainer, coach through the first ever John Maxwell certification program. And I launched my coaching, speaking, and training business. And for me, the whole MO behind my company is that there's so much negativity out there today in the social media world, in the regular media, whether it's print ad, television, or radio. And we just want to be that place where people can come to get motivated, inspired, and the emphasis just not giving up on yourself or your dreams and your goals. And I think the success that we've had over the last year and a half has been remarkable just because so many people love the idea and the concept. And it's just something that just means a lot to me. And if I can impact one person's life every single day, or if I can connect somebody to every single episode of our podcast, that's just the best thing of what we do and why we do it.
Thank you for sharing us the backstory behind NQL. And I really love the idea of providing a hub of positivity and motivation where the news can seem to get more negative as the days go by. And you've been able to come in contact with a lot of people by starting NQL. And based on all the people you've been able to come in contact with and seeing them on their journeys, some of them not being able to stick through, others getting inspired and seeing their goal to completion. Why do you think most people quit?
You know, I think it's a great question that I get asked quite often, and I don't have one specific answer because there are different reasons and there are different things that people quit. But I think if I had to generalize it, I would say that the reason people quit is they don't achieve the success that they're looking for when they want to. So, for example, whether it's a business launch for a new venture, whether it's losing weight, whether it's getting out of debt, whether it's finding that perfect person. I think what happens is people have a goal with a end date, whether it's a month, a week, a year. And as they get closer to that goal date, they don't, or they haven't attained the success, so they give up. And I think the one thing we tell people all the time is take your big goals or your large goals and break them down into smaller bite-sized goals. So for example, if you were going to lose, let's say, 30 pounds, if you look at that 30 pounds as a large number, it seems pretty daunting. But if you break it down into the first 5 pounds and the next 5 pounds, and what happens is you put yourself in the mental frame of mind where you have small successes along the way. And if you have 5 or 6 or 7 small successes, it's the same thing as having one big success. So it's one of the things we talk about and we teach within our company is taking a large goal or large goals and breaking them down into smaller goals. So not only do you feel that you're accomplishing something, but you don't fully give up at the end.
Christopher, thank you for sharing with us that generalization of why most people quit. And I love that idea of having a chain of small successes that lead up to the big goal. And in order to maintain that chain of small successes, having a strong sense of commitment is really critical for maintaining it and then eventually accomplishing that goal that you're after. So with that in mind, how can we accomplish a strong sense of commitment towards our goals so we pursue them full force?
One of the things that we talk about with our clients is putting them down on paper. So taking out a piece of paper and pen and writing your goals. And then what we also tell people is you take time away from them, whether it's a day or two, and then you come back and you look at them. And a lot of times people will tweak them a little bit and change them a little bit. I don't think anybody should have a goal that they just come up with within a minute and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Now, on the flip side, I don't think you should also spend days and upon weeks going through your goals. Some of them you will, but the reality is if you put something down on pen and paper, that's the first step of actually putting it into action. And the second thing we talk about all the time is committing that goal verbally to somebody else. And statistics out there, and I'm not going to throw out a lot of statistics because I think it's difficult to really say which ones are 100% accurate, which ones have kind of been changed or tweaked. But the reality is if you write down a goal, you have a higher percentage of accomplishing that goal if you didn't write it down. And then if you take it to the next step and if you tell somebody else about that goal, not only about the goal, but also if there is specifically an end date, you have an even higher chance of accomplishing that goal. So as we work with our clients and potential clients, the things we talk about are giving you and putting you in the highest percentage chance of accomplishing your goals. And those two things right there give you a much higher percentage of chance of accomplishing your goal. Now, it doesn't mean that you're definitely going to accomplish your goal, but it puts you in not only the right frame of mind, but it gives you a leg up on actually accomplishing your goals.
Christopher, thank you for providing those insights on maintaining that strong sense of commitment. I personally write down all my goals before I even think about accomplishing them because writing, it's one of those things that just helps so much. But as you mentioned, it does not guarantee that you'll accomplish the goal, and roadblocks and challenges just seem to be part of the process. So how can we stay positive and persistent even when quitting seems so tempting? Because for many people, it does get tempting at a certain point, but you got to be able to not quit. So how do we do that?
Yeah, it is definitely tempting in many ways. I had a guest on my podcast, a gentleman by the name of Michael J. Mayer, who's a very successful author. He's one of the top real estate agents in the country. And one of the things he said really stood out to me, and I think it maybe answers the question a little bit, is he said, Chris, it is perfectly okay to stop and to reassess where you are and maybe make a tweak or make a change. He said, but it is not okay to fully give up and quit. And the way he said it and how he said it within the interview just really stood out to me because I think that's something that people, I think, miss in regards to actually giving up versus stopping and reassessing where you are and maybe taking a different angle or maybe making a change. And I think that's a big thing that we talk about now within our company, both on the podcast as well as when we're doing coaching and training as well as some of our keynote speaking, is it's important to look at your goals from the beginning to end. And when you get to that point where you want to give up, that's where we recommend people is, okay, don't just throw in the towel and completely give up. Let's stop for a minute. Let's reassess where we are. And let's take a real hard look in the mirror and say, okay, do I need to change this? Do I need to tweak this? And then based upon that analysis, you attack a little bit differently. But the key point is that you didn't fully give up at all. You just stopped, reassessed where you are, and made a better decision of how to approach the next phase of that attempted goal. And I think that's a big thing that we really talk about all the time is it's okay to stop and it's okay to reassess and really take a hard look at it and where you are and where you need to make adjustments, but don't ever fully quit and throw in the towel.
Staying positive and persistent is definitely very important for goal achievement because quitting, that is definitely going to be tempting during that process. But some people, they have the positive and the persistence down. They're able to continue to put in the work that is necessary to achieve their goals. But these people, they also want to prosper as well. And I feel like we all want to prosper. Not everyone is there. You have some people really putting in the work, but for some reason not being able to prosper. So how can we prosper from what we're doing?
That's a good question. And I think it comes down to something we talk about also, which is surrounding yourself with the right like-minded individuals. And as you tell those people about your goals and your objectives, those are the ones that you want to have in your corner. So to be able to be prosperous and to be able to keep going when you do want to give up is having those important people in your corner. And the reality is everybody's not going to be that key person that's going to be in your corner. And that doesn't mean in any way that you need to cut people off. But the reality is, as you're going through different struggles and obstacles, and as you're going and looking to achieve your goals, you want to have the right amount of people in your corner, but you also want to have the right people. It's not about quantity, it's more about quality. So for us, we talk about having those right people that are those positive influencers, and what we call are those people that are elevators, not as far as an elevator, meaning taking you from one floor to the next, but an elevator in a sense that they elevate you by their positive approach. And maybe you're having that day where you don't think you're going to be prosperous, or you don't think your goal is going to really come to fruition, and you jump on a phone with them or jump on a Skype call, or even maybe grab lunch or coffee and just say, hey, I'm struggling here a little bit. Do you have any advice or suggestions? And as long as you have some of those good people in your corner, it's going to allow you to be more prosperous. And a lot of times it's going to allow you and help you to keep going, especially when you feel like you want to give up, and maybe when you feel like it's not a good idea, or maybe this business venture is not going to come to fruition. Having those key people in your corner at the right times sometimes make all the difference between a company or success being somewhat successful or a company being truly successful.
Christopher, thank you for sharing those insights on how we can prosper from all of the work that we're putting in. And when we do talk about putting in all the work, the amount of work that we're able to produce and share with the world is dependent on how we're able to utilize our time. So in order to increase our output and increase the value that we provide, how can we maximize our time so that we're able to get more done?
That's one of our most favorite topics. It's something that we probably talk about every single episode, is time maximization. And the reality is, I can't give you more than 60 minutes per hour. I wish I could, because if I could, I'd be a multi-billionaire and we wouldn't be having this conversation, because I'd be sitting off on my own island somewhere.
Let me in on that secret.
we'll go on 50-50. But one of the things we realized when it came to time maximization is, if you can control the time better, if you can control the time more efficiently, you can get a better output. And it's not that you're changing the input, meaning you're going to do 2 hours worth of work in 1 hour. What it is we found that a lot of people get distracted pretty easily. So one of the things that we talk about with our time maximization is putting your phone and or your tablet or your computer on airplane mode, or sometimes just turning off your computer and going into a different room and having a timer, or putting a stopwatch out, or using the timer on your phone and setting it out where it's the right amount of time for you. So for me personally, it's 45 minutes. So I'll go into the conference room that's right next to my office, and I'll put my phone on airplane mode, and I'll set my timer for 45 minutes. And I will do that most important thing for that 45 minutes until I'm done. My phone won't vibrate. It won't make any noises. I won't check email. I am focused on that 45 minutes. And if I myself can focus on 45 minutes, the way I reward myself is I will then use the next 5 or 10 minutes to catch up on emails, or maybe call a friend, or a lot of times just go across the street, grab a water or something, and just go for a quick walk. The other thing that we talk about when it comes to time maximization, and I'm not in any way perfect on this, but I'm definitely getting better, is we try to teach people to check their email less frequently. And the reason I say that is, the average person checks their email from the minute they wake up, the first thing they do, almost until the very last thing they do at night. And they check it constantly, every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes. And I was talking to someone yesterday at doing a speaking event. And the reality is, if your house was burning down, or if somebody got in a car accident, or if there was a family member or a child that needed your help, they're not going to open up their phone or their computer or their tablet and send you an email and say, dear so-and-so, my house is burning down, would you mind calling the fire department? They're going to pick up their phone and they're going to call you. So the thing that we talk about is taking those time blocks and really maximizing them, as far as putting your phone or your device on airplane mode and focusing for whatever that time is for you. And the one thing I do recommend to people is, find out what that their time frame is. And like I said, for me, it's 45 minutes. That works perfectly for me. And then the other component is to check your email less frequently, focus on the most important things that you need to do each and every day, and then check it later when you have time. And what's going to happen is people are going to realize that you're not checking your email 50 times a day, and they're going to realize that if it's something that's really important, they're going to call you or they're going to send you an email and ask you to speak to them later. So it's those are the two strategies that we really talk about quite often with our company.
Christopher, thank you for sharing those insights on how we can maximize our time. And it definitely seems like a topic you could talk about for over 60 minutes. But I mean, we want to condense the episode. We don't want to expand it that much. But I feel like another question that would be right up your alley is this next one that I love to ask all the guests on the show. And that question is, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
I think it's fear of the unknown and fear of failure. It's something that definitely I think everybody definitely encounters in some way, especially when they're doing something new. So for me, this past April when we launched our podcast, it was something that I hadn't done before. So back in January, February, March, I was going through those questions, asking myself, what happens if it's not a success? What happens if we can't get enough guests? What happens if we don't have enough listeners? And I think the second component to that is it's the paralysis by analysis, where you always think about every single potential obstacle or every single challenge. And all of a sudden, it's a week, 2 weeks, 5 weeks go by, and you realize that you're nowhere closer to launching that podcast or starting that company. So for me, the two big things are fear of failure and fear of the unknown. Now, I don't want in any way to share with your listeners the idea that they should just jump into things blindly. But the reality is that you should prepare to the best of your ability, but you should also go ahead and start that business or start that company or launch that podcast when you've done the research and when you've prepared yourself for the best of your ability. Because the reality is you can prepare day in and day out, and you're still going to encounter things down the road that you probably hadn't thought about. But if you've done the research, you put in the time and the effort before that, you should not allow that fear to stop you. Now I don't mean, you just jump into it and say, I'm going to be unbelievably successful, I'm not going to really work. No, but if you do the right amount of research, you put the work in, you put the effort in, the fear gets less and less and less. And John Lee Dumas, who was a guest on my show, and I was very fortunate to be a guest on his show, that was one of the things he spoke about early on in the interview. Is I asked him what one of the things that he was afraid of early on, and it was launching his podcast. And he shared a story that there was many months where he didn't launch it, and then finally he was speaking with someone, and within a couple of weeks he actually just went ahead and launched it.
And I really love how you're bringing up podcasts, because I got to share my own story. I don't want to make it too long, but similar story where I hesitated for a little bit, and then I don't know how it came about, but something clicked. I was like, I'm going to launch it. And before I could think, I just suddenly launched it. Like, I did a lot of research up front to figure out how to make it work. But there has to be a point where you say, I have what I need. I'm just going to go right into this before I could think of any fear that's going to hold me back.
No, I love it. I think that's so important for your listeners to take away is the importance of doing the work and the research. But it gets to a point where, you know, you're standing outside the pool and you know the water is a little bit cold. But, you know, by you standing there for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it's not going to warm up at all. So just go ahead and jump in.
I really do love that metaphor. And I'm thinking about that right now. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. We do definitely hit that cold water. Because, I mean, part of it is we're going to have to face certain challenges along the way. Like with podcasting, there's certain challenges. With any goal that we pursue, there's going to be some challenges along the way. And with that in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge that you have faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. And for me, it was launching my business, No Quit Living. And the reason it was challenging was it was something that I had never done before, similar to podcasting. And for me, it got to a point where I just realized, I took a look in the mirror and I realized that nobody was going to do it for me. I had people that helped me along the way. I still have people that help me that are mentors of mine. I actually have my own coaches as well. And I just realized that nobody was going to do it for me. And it just got to a point one day where I kind of looked in the mirror, and it wasn't a moment where specifically I can tell you at 3:25 on Tuesday afternoon it hit me, but it was reading a couple things, listening to a couple different podcasts, and I just realized that it had to be up to me to go ahead and make it happen. And within the next 2 or 3 weeks after that, I'd actually launched my company. And to your point about the cold water and the obstacles that we face, I realized that at the time I had to take a hard look in the mirror and not only launch and go ahead and put everything into action, but for me, I had to make a tough decision of my must-haves versus my wants. And that was something that really stood out to me, in the sense that there are things that I must do each and every day. And for my business and launching it, there were things that I had to do. And there were other things that I wanted to do. And I realized that until I had to do the must-haves and until I really focused on doing those first, I wasn't going to worry about the things that I wanted to do, because they weren't going to get me to the next level. They weren't going to get my website up and running. They weren't going to get the business cards ordered. They weren't going to get all that stuff into action. And for me, I also at the time created a 2-page sheet that I use each and every day. I do it in the morning and I do it in the evening. And I lay out my day with my priorities and what I need to do and what I want to do. And for me, it was right around the turning point when things begin to happen in a positive way. And I also realized the two biggest words we use in our company are accountability and self-accountability. And those have been some of the things we speak about most often on stage, as well as with our coaching and training clients. And at that point, I realized that I had to become self-accountable, and I had to become more accountable to myself than anybody was going to hold me to. And that's really where the company started to launch. And then it was quickly after that when we also thought about the podcast idea. And then a few months after that, we actually put it into action and we launched it as well. So those were some of the interesting perspectives that I had during those, I wouldn't say specifically just tough times, but it was tough times in the sense that, you know, I had some tough conversations with myself where I said, you know what, if I'm going to do it, I got to do it now.
Christopher, thank you for sharing with us that big challenge you faced and the powerful lesson that you learned. And we do have to have those conversations with ourselves in order to initiate action. So I'm very happy that you brought that up during this episode. And another thing that I'd love to talk about is, this is something I ask a lot of people on the show. I'm a really big bookworm, which means I'll read anywhere from 10 to 30 books every month, depending on how much time I have. So what are 3 great books that you could think of that would have a really big impact on our businesses?
Well, kudos to that. I am a book nerd myself, in the sense that I love to read. And I think it was early on in my career when I really jumped into the whole personal development world. So for me, there are a couple books that come out. Obviously, I'm sure this has been mentioned many times. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, I think, is one of the top books out there is from a business perspective and also from a personal development perspective. The other book that I just started reading, which is fascinating, is Principles by Ray Dalio. I would highly recommend that to not entrepreneurs, just people in general, the principles he talks about. And he's one of the most successful business people of all time. So that's an unbelievable book. And I have to say, one of my all-time favorites, actually, The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. And the reason I say that is Grant talks very specifically in his book that everything that he achieved actually took him 10 times the effort to achieve it. So for example, it took him, when he was planning it out, and we was planning his different businesses and launching different businesses, it actually took him 10 times the phone calls, 10 times the meetings, 10 times the research. And what I love about his book is something that I talk about on a weekly basis, is he talks about goals. And most people, what happens when they're not going to achieve their goal or they're not close to it, what they do is they lower their goals and they make an agreement with themselves and they kind of trick themselves saying, oh, you know, I'm not going to be able to accomplish that goal, so I'll lower it a little bit. And he talks about is exactly the opposite, is what you need to do is you need to massively increase your activity and you need to massively increase your input so you can achieve that output that you're looking for. And those are 3 books that I would definitely recommend to your listeners.
Christopher, thank you for those 3 awesome book recommendations. And before we get to the part where you can share with us more about where we can find you on the web, such as No Quit Living and some of the other things that you have, you mentioned earlier about having those tough conversations with yourself. And I'm sure that you've seen others have those tough conversations. You've helped people who've been having those tough conversations about during the challenge continuing and not quitting. So with all these conversations that you've had and you've seen other people have, what is one question you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
That's something that I don't get asked enough, and I wish I was asked it more, because it's something that some of my mentors have taught me is, and one of the best questions is, I'll ask a client as we're sitting down, we're going through some of the coaching or training with a company, and I'll just flat out ask somebody, are you willing to put in the effort that's going to be required to achieve your goal? And everybody automatically says, yes, of course. I haven't had anybody that said, no, I'm not initially. But my follow-up question, similar to the Grant Cardone book, is what if, for example, Mark, you're planning on 40 hours a week working on your new business venture? What if I say to you it's going to take 50 to 60 hours per week for the next 10 weeks? Can you commit to that? And that's a question that you can ask in different ways. But the reality is, and it's not a critique, nor is it a fault of anybody's, but people don't look at a lot of the time associated with doing different things. And it could be a 9-to-5 job. It could be in school studying. It could be trying to get into college. There are so many overlapping similarities. But what I ask people very simple is, are you willing and are you really committed today to put in the time and effort that it's going to take to achieve your goals, knowing that, again, it could be twice or three times or an extra 4 hours today and an extra 3 hours tomorrow? And by asking some of those people some of those really specific questions, you get a really candid response, and you can see pretty quickly how willing and how committed people are. And it's not a fault and if someone's not fully committed now. And what I tell a lot of clients is, if you don't think right now you can commit to launching this podcast because of family or because of kids, then what I would recommend is you holding off until you're ready. And it's not that I ever want to be negative with people, but I want to be very clear, because I want to make sure that they understand what they're getting into. So for me, that's a very significant question, but it's a very simple question that has a profound answer if you really and truly answer it honestly.
Christopher, thank you for providing us with that great question that comes from the first question about, are you willing to put in the work? And then asking that variation question that really gets the essence of, are you willing to go the extra mile, or in Grant Cardone's case, 10xing the amount of effort you think you'll have to apply? So thank you for sharing that great question with us.
No problem. It's something that I'm passionate about. And like I said, I've been very fortunate to have a lot of mentors that have helped me along the way. And I think John Maxwell, who's a friend of mine, not in any way are we best friends, but he's a friend and he's a mentor, because I was able to spend some time with him during the training program. What he talks about all the time is that great leaders ask great questions. And I think that's something that I'm trying to learn, and something too I'm trying to improve on each and every day, is by asking those great questions, you're going to get great answers. And for me and for you, having a podcast and being a podcast host, and you do an excellent job at what you do, is you can always improve the type of questions and how you ask them. So I think that's something for me personally that I'm always looking to improve on myself.
Chris, thank you for sharing that final tidbit with Breakthrough Success listeners. And I do believe, I mean, I think about this each time I'm crafting the questions. I have to ask the right question to get as much insights from the guest as possible. And you provided some really amazing insights throughout the show. And some people will want to learn more about you and where they can find you on the web. So for all the Breakthrough Success listeners wondering, where can we find you on the web?
Yep. So the easiest place is noquitliving.com. That's our website. We have a Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/noquitliving. We're also on Instagram. And one of the things that I'm extremely fortunate to have had some great mentors, is I love connecting with different people. So if any of your listeners have any questions, whether it's with coaching, speaking, training, or even with potentially launching their own podcast, they can reach out to me. My personal email address is chris@noquitliving.com. Once again, that's chris@noquitliving.com. And I look forward to hopefully connecting with some of your listeners, because to me, that's the best part about this world and this space, is it's so easy to connect with people. And then if anybody wants to check out our podcast, you can search it on iTunes. It's just under the name No Quit Living, or on Stitcher Radio or Google Play. So for us, it's pretty simple, and we're really appreciative of everybody that reaches out to us.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, you can find those links and the show notes at markgaberti.com/E76. Christopher, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgaberti.com/iTunes or markgaberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. Want your tweets get retweeted to my 360,000 Twitter followers? All you have to do is say something nice about the Breakthrough Success podcast and include the link markgaberti.com/iTunes. Once you've posted that tweet, email me mark@markgaberti.com and I will retweet your tweet to my 360,000 followers. This podcast is a production done by Mark Gaberti. For more insights, head on over to markgaberti.com.